Okay, to introduce today's speaker, we have Bob McCann, Director of Education for ARI Network Services. Welcome, Bob.
Thank you, Mike. Well, the good news is that you don't have to listen to me very long today. So that might be a standing ovation right at the beginning. Hey, when we first got this assignment, we were suggested that maybe we go out and let's hear a little bit from what the customers do when they go out and search for people on the internet, search for boat dealers, search for boats, etc. So we ended up coming up with this brilliant idea to go to the Fort Lauderdale Boat Show. And when we went to the Fort Lauderdale Boat Show, we were going to stop people and ask them what they did when they would, you know, search for a boat. And so I'm thinking, why would anybody stop for me? I said, maybe if we can get somebody from the press to be with us, that they would stop for the press. So I asked Matt about that and said, he said, sure, we'd love to help out. And no problem. But Matt was the smart one in here. So what he did, he says, I got this guy, Mike, who would love to come down. So he came all the way down from Minneapolis. And we sat at the boat show for 2 days trying to stop people and to talk to us with a camera in their face. That is a challenge. I think every salesperson, if you're going to sign up to be a salesperson, you have to do this job because it's total rejection for 2 days. People just saying, nope, 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 nope. But actually, we did get to talk to a lot of people, and we're going to feature it today. And if you notice, Mike, he is our, you know, he's got a graduate degree in journalism, so we put him on the microphone. He was going to ask all the questions and whatnot. Now, watch these films. We're going to show you several through the presentation today. And look at Mike at the beginning. He's a white guy from Minneapolis. And notice towards the end, he starts becoming a red guy from Minneapolis. If anybody was with the show this year, it was the hottest show I can remember. And he stood out there as a trooper and really helped us out. So let's give Mike a hand right now before you get to see him at work. And as I said, you don't have to hear me speak very long today. You're in for a real treat. Channel Blade, when we need some SEO, you know, a good dose of SEO ourselves, we've been going to this gentleman for some years now. And so we decided, hey, if we're going to deliver this type of topic to this audience, we needed to put our A game out there. So we flew him in from Portland yesterday, Oregon, and he's here today. Welcome, Kent Lewis. Come on up. And he's going to take us through immediate results using search engine marketing. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Can you all hear me? All right. So I don't have a remote, so I guess I'll be jumping up and down off the stage, hitting this little thingamajig. Yeah, do you have a clicker?
Here, I got one.
Rockin', watch this on the fly. So yeah, I just flew in from Portland, Oregon, and yes, my arms are tired. I'm representing two companies today. Anvil Media, you can see on the front, there's an Anvil and a Formic. I started Anvil 10 years ago, and we work with fairly large brands like Borders Books, which we have one of our team members is actually on site in Ann Arbor driving their web strategy through the holiday season. And so bigger enterprise brands. And then at Formic, we work with the smaller businesses. And not to say any of you are terribly small, but we do actually do a lot of work with auto dealers, BMW, Mini, Ford, Kia, Toyota. So Formic is primarily the brand that some of you guys would be interfacing with if you partner with our ARI. So today I'm going to talk about kind of the fundamentals of search for those of you, and we'll get a show of hands here in a minute, that are fairly familiar, get everybody up on the same page, talk a little bit about social, and then kind of the game changer in the last month particularly is local search, particularly on Google, and how that's impacting your business. And we'll talk about that all-important measurement, a couple case studies, and we'll have some time for some Q&A. So I'm going to show you a quick video here. Just a quick show of hands, how many of you are actively managing your search marketing program for your business, your dealership? Okay, so majority, perfect. So let's watch a quick video here.
You guys enjoy boating, is that right?
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
If you guys were going to make a boat purchase, what would be the first thing you did to research that purchase?
Definitely an internet source, for sure.
Where do you look for the type of information you need to make the purchase?
Internet.
If you're looking to purchase a new boat, what's the first thing you do to research it?
You can go online and look at the comparisons.
Do you ever use the internet at all to research?
I definitely do that, yes.
Probably go online.
We subscribe to different magazines and we look at them, and my husband's always on the internet looking at boats' prices and just seeing what's out there for sale.
Look at the manufacturers first, look at their reputation, see the quality of the boat, see what the warranty is, etc.
Do you ever search for information on the internet?
Yeah, well, that's where you get all your information.
All right, so any of you used the internet before? So just like many of your customers are doing the exact same thing. So I want to break down search marketing into a couple different elements, starting with a reminder of what the different elements are. Now, I've been optimizing websites since 1996, which is about 3 months after Al Gore invented the internet. And you'll notice here, I highlighted in red the paid search, and then also at the top, does this have a laser beam? Maybe not. Wait. It's not strong enough. Okay, so at the very top in the purple, those are sponsored links. You're probably familiar with paid search, pay-per-click, sponsored listings, and then the highlighted on the side as well. But this is a local search result for Orlando, and you'll see that local search has a new look. No longer is it just the seven tight little pins and the map called the Lucky Seven. It's now as many as 10 results, the entire first page. So if you've optimized for Orlando Boat Dealer and your site is showing up in the organic search results, you're now on page 2. If your dealership is not optimized and claimed in local search in the Google Places page, you're not playing in the game anymore. So, and incidentally, a little side note, for nomenclature purposes, I call search engine marketing the umbrella term for paid search, organic search, and anything else you do within the internet that's marketing, because you don't call advertising marketing and PR marketing differently. So some people call it SEO and SEM. We call it SEO and pay-per-click, and that all falls under search marketing. So just so there's no confusion. So the organic search results, so this is for Bayliner parts. You'll notice that's the traditional, that's the holy grail. How do you get into those organic results? And we're going to talk about that in a second, but I want to show you another quick video.
And where do you go to search for stuff on the internet?
Google a particular name for a boat, or if I'm looking for a particular hardware, you just kind of Google the hardware and it all seems to come up.
So you usually have a pretty specific idea of what you're looking for.
Very much so, right.
I would Google boats for sale,
yeah,
new, used, or if I had a particular model or size or design and style.
eBay and Google.
Where do you think you would go to start with?
Google.
I go to different websites concerning boats. I go to Yacht World. I go to Motorboat and Sailing site, any kind of boating magazine site.
Probably individual boat manufacturer sites, internet forums and that kind of thing.
So as you can see, people understand that the Google is truly 70% of the market share. And Bing and Yahoo are pretty much the lion's share of the remainder. So as I touched on earlier, local search results are becoming more and more prevalent, and that's because Google's fairly intelligent. They know if I'm searching from Orlando and I'm just looking for a yacht service, they know that my intent is probably not to get my yacht serviced in Michigan, it's to get it serviced here in Orlando, so they naturally show an embedded local search results. And there are other elements that you can do to pop out. You'll notice number D, I think that's Sundance Yacht Sales, and they have a little free dry storage little coupon, and those are about $25 a month, and suddenly if I look at those seven results, that one stands out. So there are a lot of little nuances to managing local search, but it's embedded there right in the organic results, and layout is that the map will stay with you on the right side no matter what, no matter how much you scroll, it's always there. So again, local taking over search. So recapping why you're going to want to implement and or expand on your search marketing campaigns and efforts. First of all, you can generate significant revenue. Obviously, you can sell a boat. How many people here have sold a boat in the last 30 days through online? Okay. So obviously you're believers. But there are other things you can do as well. You can generate, if they're not ready to buy, which may be the case if I may not be able to get the financing, I don't have $500,000 in my back pocket. Maybe I just want to sign up for a webinar or a subscription to a newsletter or some other promotional materials and generate a qualified lead. But you can also cut your costs. I like to say that we're the most eco-marketers out there. We're very green because we recycle pixels and we recycle ideas. The reason there is that if you have a really interesting print campaign or a direct response mailer you've sent out to your customers, your best customers, we can take that creative, purpose it for paid search or any other type of search or social programs, and you've just amortized the investment you've made in the creative and the whole lead flow process and everything. And then increase your profitability. We found through our hotel clients and other clientele that our web-based leads are worth more than walk-ins and phone-ins. That may or may not be true for every dealership here, but if you think of, in our case with a hotel, a business traveler is web-savvy. They'll pay whatever the price. They're not price-sensitive typically, and they once you get them, they typically return, so they're higher margin over time. So hopefully you can create that kind of relationship with your customers as well. But really, at the crux of all this is keyword research. You know, we don't, in terms of, there are different ways to target boat enthusiasts online. And, you know, you can do Facebook advertising and, you know, all this different information about these people. But the beauty of the difference between advertising on Facebook or even one of the publishers that are here is that you're not sure of their intent. They passively see the ad and they may or may not be ready to purchase. But as you know, with search, if I'm looking for a Sea Ray, something in the 39-foot, 42-foot range, then I'm probably more likely to buy because I'm based on which keywords I'm using to search. So that's what we do. We recommend to our clients that you start with looking at how people are already finding your website, looking at the website log files or analytics, using the free tools, the keyword research tools that the search engines provide you because they're giving away enough information to get you to spend money with them, right? Then you can just look in all the suggested searches. So on Bing, Yahoo, and Google, there's always a, well, did you mean this? Or you might want to try this term. And that's another way to expand your keyword inventory. And then also, what vernacular are the editors, the writers using versus the consumers? Consumers typically look to the publishers for what kind of the newest terminology. So stay on top of those trends. Remember, don't forget misspellings. I'm sure that more than one multimillionaire has bought a boat that he couldn't even spell properly. So I've noticed this with a few clients. When the millennium bug was going to hit in 1999, one of our clients was in the COBOL business. They're the ones that screwed up all the programming in the first place, and then they got paid twice as much to fix it. But more people misspell millennium than spelled it correctly, so we were spending more money buying the term millennium with not enough N's or too many N's or whatever the case was. Same thing can happen with your boat brands as well. And so here's an example of the keyword research tools from Google on the top, where you can see the competitiveness of a term. In this case, I just used Portland Real Estate as an example. The search volume, so how much competition is there in terms of spend and how many people are searching on it. Bottom left is keyword discovery. So you put in one term, and it gives you a bunch of stemming related terms, so you can really expand your keyword universe. And the bottom right is the Microsoft Ad Center, the keyword trending. And there was a client that I know that was tracking trends to sales, and there was definitely a direct correlation. So as a term waned in popularity, so too did the sales for that specific product. So let's take a little look at another quick video about keywords.
And when you're searching for information, what kind of words are you typing in?
I might be typing the type of boat that I'm looking for, whether it be a convertible or an express. It might be the year. It might be test results, sea trials, things like that.
Yeah, I would just type in buyer's guide for boaters buyer guide and start looking at specifics or, the specifications online.
No, I specifically go for a item. Okay. So it'll be propeller, okay, today propeller, tomorrow navigation, the day after filters.
Fuel consumptions, look up the different engines, depending on what style engine you want in them.
I mean, I'll go in there more for pricing. And get a feel for that boat and where we're out of Ohio, so where within the country that boat is selling for and what it's selling for.
If you're in Chicago, you're not going to find much boat stuff in Chicago. You know you're going to be coming down here, so you just use whatever resources you need to find the materials that we're looking for.
Oh, I want one here close by in Florida. Absolutely.
So you might enter in some information to make it more of a local search?
Yes.
Are you interested in looking for location-wise where things are at, or do you just look in general?
First of all, location, then broaden the search.
All right, so that's the insights into keywords. You can see one of the best tricks in the book in terms of search marketing is to optimize for the buying cycle. So, for instance, I don't own a boat. I would love to, but if I was searching, I hit the lottery, sell my business or whatever, I know maybe I'm looking for a 40 to 46 footer. I'll start there. Maybe I'm not a brand, an expert yet on which brand I like. So a lot of your early stage might be by length or size or application, lake boat, ocean going. And then you can start to provide content, ads, and optimize content around, oh, you're not sure what you want. Well, here are some different options. Here are some different brands. And if you only carry that one brand that's going to fit the bill, then you're going to really build out why Sea Ray, for instance, might be the one. And then let's say I already know that I want a Sea Ray or it's down to two different products. Then I'm going to want to have a comparison chart. And you notice there they want the specs. They want to have some sort of way to compare the different specs or maybe customer reviews of the different ones for getting the feel for which application might be best for them. Then you can just get down to the specific model and the different features that are available. So all of that can be done through the process, optimizing down to I'm ready. Maybe there's a dollar offer, a financing deal going on, and that is what gets me to pull the trigger with your dealership versus the one across town. So you got to be thinking about where they are in the buying cycle because that makes a huge difference. So I'll try and explain what these random three images are. You guys are all going to leave within the next 30 seconds, you're going to be search engine optimization experts. And the reason is because when I optimized my first site in 96, as I mentioned earlier, nothing has really changed significantly in the last 14 years in terms of how you optimize to get a site to rank. And there are really three elements. And the first one is content. And in our business, we say the content is king. You can't show up for a search if you don't have content correlated with that search, at least in organic results. And so therefore, the content is, we used to say it's king, now it's pretty much holy, especially with social media, where consumers are generating more of the content than you could ever dream to create yourself. So the content is really where you focus around your site. What kind of good content do you have for organic search? Do you have frequently asked questions, FAQs, press releases, articles? Do you have a blog that's more about the timely news and trends? That's all content that does very well. For somebody like me that's more of a novice boater, a glossary of terms would be helpful. I don't know how many gigawatts this yacht has, and I don't even know what that means, and I just made that up. But, so for instance, I know that our glossary on anvilmediainc.com, if you hear a lot of buzzwords I'm saying that may not make sense to you, if you go into Google and say define colon RSS or A-B testing, our glossary typically shows up in the top 10. So a glossary within itself can rank very, very well for those particular terms of maybe there's some sort of new anti-cavitating prop or something like that. So the content is king. Without good content, you'll never rank. Number two is clean code. So that's the matrix, right? For those of you that don't know HTML or have not built a site yourself and it all looks kind of foreign to you in the back end, then fear not. All that you need to know is that what are the key elements of the code that you need to optimize? So the good news with a platform like ARI, not to be specific, or ChannelBlade, is that they give you certain areas where you can influence the code and make sure that the keywords are in the right place and the right time. And so that's the really key, the important thing about code is you can have brilliant content, but if the search engines can't find it because the code isn't optimized to be indexable, then you've lost the game there as well. And the third and most important element is credibility, and that's the handshake that you have between your site and every other site out on the internet that's related to boating. So somewhere between 60 and 70% of what Google's algorithm uses to rank you in the top 10 for whatever term, whether it's Bayliner or Sea Ray, Boats, Service, Orlando, Tampa Bay, doesn't matter, is that you have credibility within the internet, within that community, the boating community. So who is linking to your site and how credible is that site? So if you have links from the publishers in the industry, that's worth quite a bit. If you have some sort of state or federal links, for some reason, .govs, .us, those are very powerful. They're much more powerful than .com links. Nonprofits, .org sites, so trade organizations. And a lot of times we encourage our clients to join nonprofits just to get the member directory link back to their site. The nonprofit wins because they get their funding, and then our clients win because they get the link credibility. Otherwise, you have to go out and seek those links. You can preferably not buy them, but that's an option. You can trade them, which also has limited value. So the idea is to create enough compelling content, put it out somewhere else, and then have it link back to you. So one of the strategies we use that's effective at Anvil is we write articles that are syndicated on third-party sites, and the only thing we request is that there's a link back from that site to us. And that credibility is tremendous. So at Anvil, we have links from the local business journal, a couple of the industry trade publications, American Express Open Forum, you know, targeting small business. Those are all very high-quality links for the Anvil site that help us rank. And in turn, we get really good leads. You can do the same thing. Look at all the boating sites that are showing up for your target terms that are not your competitors and go out and secure a link. That's 70% of your ranking. Other smaller factors, how long has your domain been around? When does it expire? So the $10 tip today is when your site, find out when your domain's going to expire and renew it for 5 to 10 years out. Because if you renew year to year, which is pointless, Google will say maybe they're not as credible as those guys that are going to be around for at least 10 years. So that's at $8 a year, you can't really argue with me that that's a cost prohibitive. So example, Hall Marine, I believe local dealer here, in terms of content is king, is they have content. It says, hello, welcome to Hall Marine Group, and then there's about a paragraph of content on who Hall Marine is that I've strategically covered up with that text box. But you get the point. And the reason why, again, keep in mind, you can spend all of your life trying to outsmart the Google algorithm. That's not the point. You've missed the point. If anybody of you working with an SEO firm, search engine optimization firm, that's saying we understand the code, we know the code, then you might want to buy the KFC original recipe and the Coke recipe off them too, because there's no such thing. There may be 99 elements in the algorithm and it changes daily. So, but what we really know is Google's just looking for good marketing. So if you describe your business in just a couple sentences and why I should visit your site or why I'm visiting your site, maybe somebody sent me a link and I don't even know who Hall Marine is. Is Hall Marine here? Okay, so too bad. So the paragraph is meant Google's trying to create an algorithm that rewards good marketing. So just a quick paragraph is powerful, and you can embed the keywords and what we call anchor text, meaning I don't want to see any click here's on your website. Click here is optimized if you hyperlink that term to somewhere. You know, for more information on our newest deals, click here. You've just optimized for the term click here, which means you're going to rank really well for the term click here. And that's not what you want. What you want to do is you can visit our Bayliner Boats section or our Sea Ray, and you hyperlink Sea Ray and Bayliner because Google looks for the relationships in the links themselves, the what they call anchor text. So, good deals on Orlando boats. You know, you'd hyperlink that, not click here for deals on Orlando boats. Proximity, prominence, and placement, the three P's of content optimization. Proximity is how close is Orlando to boat to dealer. If they're all one phrase, you're going to outscore anybody else. But you can still have them within relationship to each other close by, and you'll still do very well. Google's smarter than if you ever do in a Word document, do a keyword search. Microsoft's not as smart as Google is. They know that if the words are nearby, there's probably some intent. The prominence is it in your headline, your header tag, the headline at the very top of the site? In this case, it's the orange or the yellow tag, Welcome to Hall Marine Group. That's a header tag. Google understands that whatever you put in your headline is probably the theme of the page and probably more important than what's at the very bottom of the page. So your headers are really important. That's where you need to put your keywords. So they've optimized for welcome and to very, very well. They've also optimized for their name, Hall Marine Group, which is also kind of pointless because they're always going to rank better for Hall Marine Group than anybody else. That's who they are. That's their domain. So what I'd propose is that they optimize for your Orlando boat dealer, Hall Marine, or something like that, so that your Orlando boat dealer is the part that you're really optimizing for because you want to show up for the terms that you want to own, not the ones that you'll always own anyway. Placement is making sure that it's in the code, it's in the copy, that your keywords are strategically embedded throughout. And to maximize the possibility of you ranking in the top 10 organically, a 2 to 5% density or recurrence of that phrase is what you're targeting. Because any less than that, if you only have the term Hall Marine once out of 500 keywords, that's a very low percentage of density. Somebody else, a competitor, can put your name in 3 or 4 times on their page and maybe outrank you. So, and any more than 5% in Google is assuming that you're keyword stuffing and you get into the red zone, the danger zone of getting penalized. Great question. The question is, what happens when you have scrolling text or movable animation? So the first question is, what kind of technology are you using for the animation? If you're using Flash, it's almost sure to game over, because Google has always, just to clarify, they've always been able to index Flash, any text embedded, but they don't trust Flash like they trust HTML. And they can't read. Google is blind. Blind as a bat. So you see the wakeboarder. They don't know what that image is. Could be porn, it could be, or it could just be wake porn. But the idea is that even with an alt tag saying this is so-and-so shredding on a behind a so-and-so Bayliner, which would be a right way to optimize that image, it still doesn't trust that as much as if you embed text or overlay text. So if your animation is HTML5 or equivalent that's HTML friendly, then it will be indexed and arguably trusted. You know, Google does index and rank PDFs. They just don't like Flash. And the something that's happened in the last week that's further kicked Flash into JoJo's is Google Instant Previews. So right now, anytime you do a search on Google, there's a little hourglass next to every result, and you click on that, and there's a preview of your site, a long scrolling preview. And if you have a Flash site, guess what? It's all blank. So what you have to do is embed Flash just like that. So if that's animated, then at least the rest of the site will show up, but you'll just see a giant puzzle piece, and that'll be empty. So that's not a big deal if you're missing one image, but when your entire site is Flash, the whole thing is blank. So be aware of that when you're looking at the instant previews are for all organic search results. And that just came out in the last week or so. So be wary of animation. Be wary of too many images. I would balance the right amount of text. So down there where they have the thumbnails, where they have text and hyperlinks, that's the right way to do it. So you have a small thumbnail, not taking up too much space, and then a link, a keyword-loaded link right to the product page. That way it shows Google the relationship. This product page is this. This image is likely associated with that product, and you're going to rank well for that. On the code side, what matters most in terms of search engine marketing or organic ranking is the keyword tag, or not the keyword tag, the title tag and the meta description. I don't know why this thing keeps... Let me do this. Move. Okay. So down at the bottom there it says Hull Marine, then a little bar, and then New Sea Ray and Boston Whaler boats, used and brokerage locations, and then ends it. So if I optimize this tag myself and hand wrote it without doing the keyword research, which I would always do first, is Hull Marine goes all the way to the back, because again, Hull Marine will always rank for Hull Marine without even trying. What you want to rank for is Sea Ray and Boston Whaler, and I would further challenge you, unless that's the only two products they carry, to have the Sea Ray and Boston Whaler pages optimized for those two. And what you might want to more optimize for is new and used boats in North Carolina, South Carolina, whatever it is. So again, your brand goes last. The brand or products you're targeting for goes first, and then the modifiers, new, used, for sale, brokerage, et cetera. And then the title tag, keyword loaded, helps you rank. The meta description, which says serving North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia with quality new boats by Sea Ray and Boston Whaler, that's actually a pretty good tag. Well, if the title tag helps you rank, then the meta description helps you get the click. So the meta description with a ton of keywords doesn't actually help your ranking, but it's what you see in the Google results that's the text, whereas the title is the blue hyperlink. So the text is the sizzle to your steak. So that's going to try, you got to try and grab the click. So it's good to have the keywords in there because they're going to be bold and they're going to stand out, but you have to create some sort of action there, some sort of compelling action. Why these guys? We've been around for 50 years. We know this business. We know these boats. We're the exclusive dealer. Whatever those triggers are that are going to get you to click, that's what goes in the meta description. The meta keywords at the very top there is 50 keywords. It's a waste of time in terms of if you're trying to get a ranking, keywords have no score since about 1995. You also, I can tell that this is a semi-remedial optimization job because you should never focus on more than three or four keywords on any given page, and they have about 50. So the only reason I'd fill out the meta keyword tag is so that we all agree as a company which keywords we're focusing on that page. I don't care if my competitors notice that that's what I'm optimizing for. There's not much loss there, but internally it's a good way for you to control and keep a theme. That way somebody isn't going to overwrite the work you've done to optimize, which happens all the time. So make sure your site is WC3 compliant and CSS if possible. The URL is very important, but it's not a deal breaker. If you can embed the keywords in your URL, excellent. If you can keep the URL short as possible, ideal, but it's not required, especially if you have other on-page optimization dealt with, including your navigation and your linking structure. If there's a lot of logic going on there and consistency, that's good. And the last but most important C, the credibility. So you go to Yahoo, you type in site colon and then your domain. It'll tell you how many pages, 855 for Hall Marine, and how many inbound links, 930. And that tells you bleh. What you really want to know is, I don't care how many pages there are unless I'm hired to optimize all 855 pages. That could be expensive and painful. But the inbound links matter, because 930 sounds like a lot, but if I look at the top three competitors and they have 10 times the number of inbound links, then I know who has set the winning pace, and now I know how much work is cut out for me. So when we do our link research and our link audits, we spend a lot of time looking at the quantity and quality of inbound links to your site and that of your competitors. And again, that's 60 to 70% of your ranking is going to be determined by the quality and quantity of those links and the relevance of those links. So it's important to understand your domain history and that your site is hosted in a reliable place, like a ChannelBlade ARI situation or wherever else. But it's really important to make sure you've got the quality links. So let's talk a little bit about paid search. How many of you are actively spending with Google AdWords right now? Anybody? Okay, so a few, a lot less. So this is an ad. A lot of brands that I talk to, or dealers, or whoever, they don't buy. How many of you are buying your own name? Those, right. So the reason you buy your own brand name is that's going to be your highest converting term, because they already like you, most likely, or are predisposed. And number two is called goodwill. Ask your lawyer. If you don't protect your brand, you lose it. So think about Kleenex and Frisbee, Escalator. All those were brands that were lost to Goodwill because too many people started using it as the nomenclature for describing a product. So you have to protect your brand. But again, it's going to drive you more traffic and better traffic than any other terms. So arguably it's worth doing, even if you're ranking well for your own term. So we have a basic process that we've developed, methodology just to simplify paid search. The first step is to explore. So you do your keyword research, you look at what's already driving traffic and leads to your site, and then you build a campaign to optimize for those keywords. And the reason you do that is you're like, well, I'm already ranking number two or three for that term, why would I buy it? Well, the reason is the research shows that when you rank highly organically and you also have a paid position in the top three or four, that your conversion rate is bumped 15 to 20%. So it's kind of a 1 + 1 = 3. So we take our top terms for our clients and we typically advertise on those to artificially boost the overall conversion rate for our top terms. But the idea is, first, it's exploration. What keywords should I look at? And then the next step is evaluate the effectiveness. So are they generating clicks? Are they generating leads or sales? And then once you figure out the keywords that work, then you expand those out. So you suddenly, propellers is a big business for you on the parts side, then look for every type of make, manufacture, application, and you build out campaigns around propellers only, for instance. Or you might find just inboard versus outboard, whatever it is. And once you expand, then you can refine and enhance, and you do that by doing something called A/B or landing page testing, multivariate. How many of you have some sort of landing page testing program? One. Perfect. So what that means is, here's why you're going to write down landing page testing, is you get 100 visitors to your site every day through this, your paid search, let's say. And let's say one of those people calls you. And you're like, I got a call a day. That's super, because I get 30 calls a month and I convert at least two of those. It's $500,000 a month off $50 in paid search. I'm cool with that. But what if you could double that to 2 calls or 60 calls a month? And all you had to do is change a logo, move it here, an image over there, or change your text or your offer. So landing page testing done at any sort of volume can mean that you can double or triple or quadruple your conversion rates without any additional business. No additional spend, no additional call tracking required. It's just simply building a better page. So anybody here shop at Amazon? Hopefully somebody. So you'll notice that if you're really dialed in, every time you refresh their homepage, they've changed something. You probably won't notice unless you sit there and you're maybe you're retired and bored, but you can look and they will have changed a color or moved a font or done something. And the idea is that they've always been optimizing using A/B is change this headline and change these two headlines or try this two different offers or use this long copy versus the short copy. That's A/B testing. Multivariate is I'll have five elements that I'll test, five different types of elements for each, so that's a five factorial variation. And so you basically the short is you need software to manage this. So we've been doing landing page testing for Borders Books. It's coming into the holiday season. You've got a lot of DVDs and books to sell. And we've been able to take even a B2B client where it's a phone call or a lead form, we've been able to double conversion rates on a lead form by just moving some images around and changing up the copy just a little bit. So landing page testing is going to be critical if you want to extend the investment of your ad dollars. And frankly, you should be A/B testing your homepage or any parts of your site regularly. The difference is that our average client site has about a 3% conversion rate for an e-commerce site. Amazon has 13 to 14%, and that's because they've taken all their marketing dollars and put it into user experience and A/B and multivariate testing for the last 12 years. And that makes a huge difference. So I think I beat it into your head. In terms of exploring and evaluating keywords, you can use the Google keyword tools. It'll tell you how much a certain search term might cost you, what position you might end up in. Caveat is that these estimates are off by as much as 100%, meaning the dollar estimates are fairly useless. You actually have to put some money in and test. So even $50 to $100 to test a new term just to see if it's really generating impressions and clicks is well worth doing. You have to determine what your ad text is. You have 35 characters per line. What are you going to say? And there's a whole art and science to writing for such a short amount. If any of you are on Twitter, you understand how hard it is to write so little, right? Unless you're maybe Hemingway or something. So you have to budget appropriately. And then the key to success in Google AdWords in particular is maximizing your quality score, which means the keyword that I buy should have related text, should have a related landing page. So if I buy Hall Marine and send to my homepage, that's pretty reasonable because it's a corporate purchase. But if I buy the term Sea Ray boat and I send them to my homepage and I have three other brands that I'm selling, bad move. I should send them right to the Sea Ray landing page. If I'm selling a specific boat, then I better send them to that product page directly. So that's what we do with, I'll mention Golf Now as a case study, 1,200 courses, online tee time reservations. We treat it like 1,200 different clients. We have to. Because you literally have to manage, you know, you guys aren't going to buy a tee time in Pebble Beach. Most likely you're going to buy it here locally, maybe at the Blue Monster or whatever down in Miami or whatever that is. So we have to do a proximity search. How far do we think people are willing to drive to a certain golf course? That's 1,200 courses that we have to optimize for. Well, every single one has a customized set of keywords, ad copy, and landing pages, so we have a very good quality score, so we score really well. And a good quality score means you spend less to have a higher position, so you make more money, have a higher ROI. Expanding and enhancing is landing page testing, managing your quality score, expanding to the content network. So on Google, if you go to AdWords and you advertise there, you are buying a certain keyword term, and it's only showing up on Google. And if you click on the ad network, the content network, it'll show up on CNN, HGTV, and all these other sites, and you have some control over that. But if you haven't explored the content network, it's worth doing, because the term Bayliner boat might be $10 or $15 a click, but Bayliner boat on the content network may be 50 cents. Now, the conversion rate's much lower because it's a passive advertising medium comparatively, but if I'm reading about a Bayliner boat and there's your Google AdSense out on CNN, boom, you still get a really qualified lead if they're ready to click, if you capture their attention. And then, of course, the landing page testing. So we'll take a little break from search, and we'll come back for Q&A, but I want to touch on social media. Show of hands, how many of you have a corporate Facebook page for your business? And Twitter? A lot less. And YouTube channel? A few more. Interesting. Okay. So typically what I see is, you know, 80% Facebook, 50% Twitter, and 20 or 30% YouTube, and you guys have flipped that. So you have a lot more YouTube, but that makes sense in the boating business versus some of our other clients.
And are you guys on the social networks?
Absolutely, Facebook.
Well, maybe a little bit of Facebook here or there.
Facebook. And Twitter.
Facebook and LinkedIn.
And do you do any social networking?
Yep. Yeah.
What are you on?
I use Facebook.
And what would you ever look for boat information through that?
I hadn't thought of it, but if there was an available service, I might look into it.
All right, so now you know Tweeter. So, you know, the key here is that you've gone to where your audience is. Facebook and YouTube, only one of those guys said Twitter. That is not a quantitative result, right? That's a qualitative research that you did. But I would say that the reason YouTube is so powerful is it's the second largest search engine in North America. That's kind of frightening if you think about why people would be on a video search engine at work, unless they're in the boating business, right? So something to think about. There's a big difference between popularity and influence. Popularity would be Ashton Kutcher having 1.5 million followers on Twitter. Influence is a technology pundit Guy Kawasaki having 30,000 followers, but having brands willing to pay him $20,000 just to mention their name once in a tweet. So that's influence. Don't confuse the two. So the goal isn't for you to race to see which one of you has the most likes on Facebook or the most followers on Twitter. It's what you do with these fans and how you move them from just a passive follower to an active customer to an advocate. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Sociometrics. A lot of brands are focusing more on the volume metrics, not the velocity and volume, not engagement. So how many friends and followers, which frankly, again, you're not ringing a cash machine off of the number of followers you have or likes. Traffic driven by social, that makes a lot more sense. How many are you tracking traffic from your social to your site? Then there's mentions, so you know that's earned media, right? The idea of people talking about your brand out on social, that actually carries a lot of weight. Leads generated, that's pretty much mostly what we track in social for our clients, and sales as appropriate. But influencers and duration of engagement, quality and quantity of engagement, how many people are mentioning you, how many people are you talking to, how many interactions a week, those are all important. Value gained. Almost half say the jury is out. I'm not sure. How many of you can quantify that there's a valuable return on your social investment so far? That's the problem, right? And the beauty is in the world of search marketing, it's a very short step to measuring social as thoroughly as we measure search. It's really not hard to do. So what we find is that there's so little time that you need to initially invest in social that it almost always returns something bigger. Right, but search is this big to social, right? Because the volume is where people are on Google. They're not necessarily on Facebook buying a boat. Doesn't mean you shouldn't be there, but with a minimal time, you can generate a maximum reward, and we'll talk about that. How are people integrating social? Mostly in their email newsletters. How many of you have integrated the little bugs or links from your social to your email, your website, or your newsletter? How many are going to do that now? Okay, good. So in terms of optimizing for search, social has a very big impact on search. And the first and foremost, the main reason is create 5 or 10 social profiles, optimize for your brand, and now you've controlled the top 10 in Google for your brand. Because otherwise, it's going to be a negative review on Yelp or City Search or something else. I'm not saying you guys aren't perfect and don't have 100% of your customers or fans, but you have to protect your brand in that regard. So one reason to create multiple profiles is solely to manage your reputation, because you control those sites. Even though they're free and they're easy to create, they rank very, very well. So the benefits. How many of you heard about the Gap logo that they unleashed? The irony of this is, remember New Coke going back a couple of years? That arguably in my marketing degree, we had a discussion that was a stunt, right? The idea was just get Coke back in the minds of people, give them something shitty, and then they'll come back to the original and love it all the more. And I think that's what the Gap did here. I think they created a stunt, because I'm pretty sure that my 5-year-old son could do a better logo than that. Interestingly, you can't mess around in social media anymore, because within 5 hours of Gap announcing this, hitting the press that they've leaked their new logo out and the reaction is quite negative, somebody created the Gap Crap Logo Maker. So you could type in your name and it would give you that logo or whatever word you wanted. So that was my little icon in Twitter for a month or two until like a week ago was my name Kent with the little blue box. And there's a few people that would say, hey, I love that. And I'd say, yeah, go to the Crap Gap Logo Maker, do one yourself. So that's how bad it is. Like, if you do it wrong, it's really wrong. Here's the part where I do my little spiel on why social matters. Social is not about marketing. It's not about you necessarily pushing a new boat or some new parts or a nice new service offering. There's nothing wrong with that inherently if it's done well. But the biggest opportunity is social media is the world's largest focus group. So they're telling you what business you should be in. They're saying, I really like Sea Ray, but I wish they had a shorter, just a slightly smaller boat or a slightly narrower boat because I'm shipping it all over the place. Or, you know, I really wish that they would offer a different kind of canopy for this application. So for the OEMs out there, be listening. And for the dealers, it's just probably it's a lot about service. So number two, affordable customer service. You've heard about the big box retailers, Best Buy and Dell and Comcast, and all these guys have a dedicated sales or a support team on Twitter, on Facebook, and it's very effective. But anytime you take your best customer service reps and put them anywhere, they're going to rock it. So the key is that you've integrated social into your customer service experience. Encourage your head of sales or head of service to delegate somebody to managing maybe an hour a day to make sure nothing's getting missed on the internet. There's a simple 1-5-10 rule that Andy Cernovitz is the king of word-of-mouth marketing. And he said that when something goes wrong, typically customer service experience, that person's going to tell 5 people. And if that issue gets resolved, they'll tell 10. So with our hotel clients, we look at social media as an opportunity to double the reach of any negative experience into a positive experience. And we do that by monitoring Yelp and City Search and all these different review sites to make sure that everybody is happy. And if they're not, then we make sure the GM at the hotel or whoever knows about it and can go address that issue. Very powerful. But yeah, you can get your name out there, just general brand awareness. That, of course, works. Create the profile, put some basic content on it, optimize it. But the biggest opportunity is really thought leadership. So why would I go to one dealer over another? Why would I go to one brand or manufacturer over another? And the reason is because I somehow trust them more than somebody else. So for a lot of you dealers out there, I assume a lot of it's word of mouth. You've created a reputation. People know to go to you. You may not even have the best product or the best prices. That's how powerful a customer service experience is. So social media just amplifies that. If you guys provide horrible service, social media will flatten you in no time. And if you're a manufacturer and you're not listening to your people out there and you're not providing the products, your competitors probably are and you're losing out on the opportunity. And so thought leadership is a blog that's always anticipating the trends and you're sharing your voice and your opinion on what's happening in the boating industry, new regulations from the federal government or state level, new manufacturing techniques, whatever it is, you should be out there talking about it. So in the last 3 weeks, we've had Google Instant Search. So when you search, as you're typing in Google, the search results are changing real time. That happened a couple weeks ago. Now Google Instant Previews, Google Local, Google Boost, all these new products are coming out. We're the first to blog about it so that when you do a search in Google or in the blog search, our blog is coming up in the top 10. That's thought leadership because our competitors are too busy doing whatever. We've made it a priority to be a thought leader. You should be too. So there's the Gap Crap logo yourself. It's absolutely brilliant that you could make it something within 24 hours of news hitting, you have an application up on iTunes. It's amazing. How can social go wrong? They used to say, my background is public relations originally before the internet hit me in the side of the face. So I understood that my old bosses used to say any PR is good PR. And on social media, that's not exactly true. Bad PR can be devastating PR. So you have to, anybody hear about the Gulf? There's some spill or something in the Gulf a while back, some oil spill or something. That was handled very interesting, in a very interesting way by BP. I think that my answer when I do this presentation, I use BP as an example, is they spent $1 million on Google AdWords in 2 weeks to say at the top, you know, here's our official response to the Gulf spill. And my answer, and I was down actually in New Orleans right after the spill at a conference, and I was like, I would have rather had as a human, as an American citizen, I would have preferred that they would have spent $1 million to plug the leak 2 minutes faster or 10 minutes faster, a day faster, than put up a stupid ad telling me all the stuff they're doing to make up for the difference. So, and I'm a marketer, right? I would never take BP's money unless they'd plug the leak first. You know what I mean? So. And who knows what the damage will be long term. It's devastating. But the idea that, so I can on one hand say, wow, they did something right, but until they plugged the leak, I don't think they did anything right, okay? So, you know, you will find that if you have substandard products or services, you will get kicked in the JoJo's. Bad ideas, poorly executed, So McDonald's unveiled a deal on Twitter. Another brand recently did too, and they got a lot of low marks for doing it the way they did. So the McRibs is back. You guys don't all rush out. Wait till I'm done. But they reintroduced the McRib, and they did it through Twitter advertising. And the general reaction is when you take a love mark like a Nike or arguably even like a Sea Ray or something, people will go miles to go do something and engage with that brand. But when you're McDonald's and you're providing something that once resembled meat, I don't think that people are going to go rush. You know, the McRib has a tiny cult following, but most people are just cynical about McDonald's products as it is. So you're taking a big risk in social media when you're putting out products that people can criticize. So do it with a very smart and thoughtful way. So our social media process is a little bit of science, but it's really the idea is the ultimate is engagement and empowerment. So creating tools that can help your biggest fans go sell your brand. So Seth Godin, my favorite marketer, the number one marketing blogger in the world, he talks about kill your marketing, fire your marketing team because your entire company and all your partners and all your customers are your marketing. As a marketer, I think that's a little harsh, but I get the point. The other thing is his concept is very simple. You've got the sales funnel. He says tip it on its side because what you want is for your customers to talk to each other. You don't want to be yelling out there to a room full of people where only two people are your customers. You want those two people to talk to each other and expand to their networks, right? So that's a really interesting way of why social media is so effective. But you have to do that first. You have to monitor and measure and see what's going on out in the social graph with your brand, your customers, your competitors. And then you start to build a strategy to connect and communicate, create interesting content and valuable tools. I don't know how many of you have some sort of boat solver. So for somebody like me that doesn't know quite what they want, you ask me three or four questions to get me to a certain makes or models. Does anybody have something like that? Because that would be a huge thing. If I come across a lot of money and I want a damn boat, I'm going to ask my uncle up in Seattle who drove a Bayliner 46-footer from here up to Seattle. He's a serious boat nut, but most of the time I'm going to just go out on the internet and have somebody help me by reading a bunch of reviews, so a solver can be a big help. So examples, I'm just going to go through a couple quick platforms. And I'm going to start with Twitter because it seems like most of you are not terribly active on Twitter, but I'll tell you how you turn this into instant cash. So 3 years ago, we built a social strategy for a Provenance Hotels. There are 5 hotels around the country, and it was very simple. You set up a Google alert, or you go on Twitter search, or TweetBeep, or these various monitoring tools, and you put in a keyword, let's say you're a boat dealer in Orlando, and if anybody tweets anything about Orlando boats, or Bayliner Orlando, or any terms plus Orlando, you're gonna get a little notification. Then what you do is go out and say, I see you're looking for a Sea Ray in Orlando. We sell Sea Ray, new and used. How can I help you? Or if it's parts, I'm looking for a prop, any ideas? Well, we sell 400 different models. What do you need? So what we were doing with Twitter 3 years ago is when people said they were going to visit Portland, we'd say, hey, I'm glad you're coming to Portland. Welcome in advance. And do you have a place to stay? If they did, then we'd say, where are you staying? Maybe we'll match or beat the rate. If they didn't have a place to stay, we'd say, come stay at Hotel Lucia or Hotel Deluxe. Follow us on Twitter, save 10%. And we would sell, maybe 10 grand a month worth of bookings, including 30% of that would be pulled from other reservations from other competitors that did not have a clue what we were doing. This is 3 years ago. Since then, Lucia, Deluxe, and those guys have they've gotten national attention, CBS Early Show, local and national and regional articles and awards for the work that we initially set up for them. So the idea is that there's a new interface, and it's all about the velocity. So how many people, it's kind of actually hard to read this new interface, but the very top of my profile, it says, how many tweets? 5,800 tweets. It's kind of frightening when you think about it. I did anything 5,800 times. That's my Zen Buddhist thing. If you say something 5,000 times, it becomes true. So I don't know what I was saying, but it must be true. And so how many people am I following? 474. Well, I've only found so far that 474 people are worth my time to listen to. But I have 2,200 people following me. So that ratio means that I'm arguably more interesting than I'm interested in other people. And so what I look for when I look at any Twitter profiles, what is that ratio? Because if you're following the same number of people following you, all you're doing is automatically following people to inflate your followers. That means you don't really care about the quality. You're going for quantity. Again, quantity is worth as much as you can throw them. listed, 182 lists. That means somebody has identified me as part of a social media or a search engine list or a person living and breathing in Portland or whatever the lists are. The more times you're listed, arguably the much more credible. That's actually a really compelling benchmark or metric is how many times are you listed because people think you're worth listing. Down below, there's keywords that are trending, people that I might want to follow that I'm not already following. And generally what it is just a live stream, 140 characters. I'm following New York Times, a couple agencies, a couple pundits. You can see a couple elements is under New York Times, there's a nyti.ms. It's a really bizarre URL. And the idea with Twitter is you only have 140 characters to get your message across, so you need to truncate that URL as short as possible. So you use a URL shortener. And the good news about that is when you use a shortener, and the one below it, bit.ly, is one of the most popular, is that I can see how many clicks, how many times people have clicked on that link just through the whatever interface. I don't even have to look at my analytics. Then there's other elements, like whenever you put an at sign and then, like here, Intel WiMAX, that means CMD Portland is referencing the Intel WiMAX handle, Twitter handle, so I can click on that, it'll take me to that profile. And then the hashtag Texas means I can click on that and see what people are talking about when that have mentioned Texas with a pound sign. Hashtag is just a way to quickly associate yourself with different trends or keywords. So those are the main elements. So you can quickly tell by looking at a profile, if there are a lot of conversations, there would be at signs. So I'm talking to people, I'm replying and having conversation. If there are shortened URLs, that means I understand how it works and I'm actually directing people to a place on my website or some other site of interest that I can track. There are a lot of management tools for that. On Facebook, how many of you have a custom landing page or tab on Facebook? Okay, so that's the other big missing ingredient that I look for is one of our clients is RealPlayer, Real Networks, and what we do is we create these custom landing pages. Now, it's just an image. You can't make it interactive for the most part. So the idea is look up and click on that like button, and then we'll give you a whole bunch of cool stuff. So if anybody was following World Cup, Adidas and Nike, you had to like them to see the videos, the teasers, and that sort of thing. That's one thing you can do. And what you look for here is how many people like or are fans of your profile. And the goal typically is more is merrier, but not always. So what we look for is quality. And that means how many interactions are happening on Facebook and that sort of thing. Now, on the right side, you'll see those ads for buyers, closeout pricing, and web design price guides. If you haven't tested Facebook advertising, you should because there's something like 400 data points on any given Facebook profile or Facebook user. There are 500 million users on the planet, and you can target them by geography, by interest. That's what makes Facebook so good is that they have too much information because you guys haven't figured out how to set your privacy controls on your own account, and so us marketers prey on you. So you'll notice that your ads are probably pretty accurate and targeted to you if you ever, next time you log into Facebook. And that means that if you're able to do that as well, you may not know that they're looking for a boat, but at least you know they're a boater. They should have that in their profile under their interests, so you can target them. YouTube, this is Parker Boats. This is the only Orlando dealer that had anything related to any YouTube channel that I found. And that means that for those of you that are in the area that have a channel I didn't find, it means you haven't optimized your channel for Orlando Boat Dealer, and that's a terrible loss. So you need to go back and change the name of your title of your channel, the description of your channel, and by all means, optimize the title of each video, the description, and then be sure to add the tags and describe what categories it might fall under. That's how you optimize. So if you've ever been looking for something on YouTube and can't find it, but you know it's there, it's because that person didn't spend the extra few minutes to optimize. That's our whole core because we optimize websites. Optimizing video, audio, or images is no different. So make sure that you've done that. And then engage. If people are reviewing and commenting, that's an opportunity for you to engage. And then lastly, I just want to leave this thought with you with clout. You probably haven't seen clout, and that's not that important. What is important is the concept behind it, which is the idea of a boat, a retailer, or a hotel, or anybody in the service industry, when your new customers, say, a year or two from now, they're going to come through the door, you're going to know their clout number, and you're going to treat them based on their clout, meaning if somebody comes through and they're a stark raving lunatic and they're a total jerk, but they have a high clout score, you have to treat them with kid gloves because they'll go back and tweet to their 5 million followers that you guys suck and that you've lost out. So clout. So in Vegas, they're going to start embedding this into the hotel experience. So instead of a VIP card, they're already like retinal scan. Oh, you've got a 10 clout score. You're nobody. So that's kind of how this is. It's a concept. Google's been created a patent around this, so be very careful on how you treat certain customers you may not know. Some of my vendors that have done me wrong, a moving company, a restaurant on the Oregon coast, and the refrigerator repair guys for our Viking refrigerator will never forget me because they did me wrong and they paid the price in Google reviews and negative reviews, and guess what? They all fixed the problem within 24 hours once they saw those negative reviews, because apparently no other way was I going to get them to fix the problem. Lastly, I think we have a few minutes here, so I want to talk about, go back to social a little bit because it's so important, is you do have to claim your listing. And I looked for a few of you dealers have not verified and claimed your listings. You don't claim your listing, you probably have inaccurate or limited information on your local search profile. That can be a deal breaker. So make sure that you've claimed your listing, and that when you go, let's see, it says owner verified listing for Boat Tree. If it doesn't, it'll say business owner question mark. Click through, claim it, fill it out. Make sure that you add your description, your categories, your update your hours, your services, upload videos, images, coupons. Build it out. You will rank. Make sure people review you, that they cite you and mention you when they have a good experience, and that's how you're going to rank in local. And then if any of you have been messing around with local check-in, location-based, so the deal here is if you reward Foursquare and now Facebook Places and a few others, Gowalla and Looped, they create literally, it's your online loyalty program. When people check in, went back to Halls to pick up a prop, went back to Halls to pick up a canopy, and they check in every time. If they have the most check-ins and they are mayor on Foursquare, and again, work with me, it doesn't matter that you know this or not, is if you reward them with something, they're going to keep checking in, they're going to keep talking about you, and their 5,000 followers on Twitter and Facebook are going to know every time they're at your dealership, you're reminding them and rewarding them. So keep an eye on virtual loyalty. We have a white paper on our website about local social. Check it out. And we're out of time, so measurement is important, right? So you should all have Google Analytics or equivalent. You need to know how people are finding your site, where they're going, and why they're leaving. And use this. You can filter it so you can see which social profiles are generating the best leads. And I use Hootsuite to manage all my social profiles, and I can track and do metrics. If you want to see what people are saying, go to Social Mention, put in your brand, and you can see things like strength and sentiment and velocity. And it's really important to keep an eye on your brand. And we are totally out of time. But golf now, just want to show you what you can look forward to. If you do search well, you can generate a significant ROI. And these guys spend a decent amount of money every single month on paid search. And every month they've hit a new volume. And their headquarters, Comcast, is here, right, in Florida. They cut our check every month to Anvil so that we can take care of golf now. And then with Hotel Lucia, Max, and those guys, just go to this. Just local search alone, we generated revenue 7% increase just by optimizing the local listings. And the last one is significant return on ad spend when refining their paid search. So these are the resources. You have a copy of the deck. Let me know if you have any questions. Thanks for your time. Okay. And I think we have time for a couple questions here. 5 minutes. Five questions. One really long question. 10 really short questions.
I know. Steve, you had a question earlier. It was already answered. Great. Here we go. The Mr. Hall guy.
The company that did you wrong, or the three companies, did you remove those reviews after they fixed your problem?
Good question. Yes, I changed them. So what I did is, so one company, the moving company, tore our brand new couch all along the back when they pulled out and hit the screen door. They did some other damage. It took them, after 2 months, they stopped returning our phone calls. So I said, I'll give you 48 hours, and then I'm going to put a whole world of hurt on you. And they didn't do anything. And then I put up all these negative reviews on every review site. I wrote a blog post. My blog indexes within the hour in the top 10 for their brand. The next day they said, hey, the fabric's in. Can we pick up your couch tomorrow? As soon as they delivered it, good as new, I changed everything from worst moving company in Portland to they're good on their word. And you could still read what happened, but I changed the title and the overall impact. So I do that every time. But United Airlines, after 2.5 years, my blog is still in the top 10 for United Airlines sucks. And 85 reviews, all horror stories worse than mine. Not one attempt to reach out to me. It's just sitting there waiting to make my day. Even $50 off my next flight, and then I can't be that pissed, right? So that's a really good point. Make sure you follow up with these people. When you make good, they should always make good too, the consumer.
On that note, you're familiar then with United Breaks Guitars by Dave?
Yes.
You might want to expand on that too.
So the United Breaks Guitars, he watched his guitar getting smashed to pieces when it was being mishandled. He wrote a song, and it had like 5 million views on YouTube. He got national attention, was on talk shows. And I'm still to this day, I'm not sure United did anything to help it, but they do. They said something like he cost them at least $280,000 in lost ticket sales directly, but that's probably it's millions of dollars if you amplify all the influencers that it may have impacted. I wished I had that kind of reach, but I don't play the guitar. Good point.
This is actually more of an example than a question, but you know, a lot of the companies we've been talking about with social media, like ruining them, have been big, huge companies. But recently, about a week ago, there was this small, like New England cooking magazine or something, that decided, basically they stole somebody's article from a website and posted it in their magazine. And when the person complained, said, oh, the internet's free domain, we can take whatever we want. And within about an hour, they had thousands and thousands and thousands of horrible negative posts from all sorts of people on their Facebook page. Yep. And their website had crashed from all the clicks they had.
Yeah.
So you can be a small business and get destroyed by people that have never even met you.
Yeah, and that's a good point. It only takes one influencer to make or break you. One sideways mention, one positive or negative mention from the right person can make or break your brand. So you have to be aware of that. Was there a question over there? No? Oh, over there. Okay, the question is, what's the best way to monitor social media so you don't miss out on any opportunities or challenges? So I mentioned, it flew by, but socialmention.com is a great place to start because you can do a search and it'll generate the results, and then you can actually log in and create recurring reports. Google Alerts is probably the easiest. Google Alerts, just Google it. I think it's google.com/alerts or alerts.google.com. You can put in your keywords, and every day you'll get an email from Google saying, here's what we found across Google and across the social graph. Another one that's a little more complicated, SM2 by Alterion, is a little more robust. But generally speaking, Google Alerts is the first place we start. And you can spend 10 grand a month on a Radian 6 or Symfony or Buzzmetrics, and you still get a bunch of garbage. So the trick is, if you have a brand that's unique and means nothing in any other language or anywhere else, like Sea Ray, I believe could be an animal, or no? Is it just a boat? Or Bayliner is just a boat. But if you're Apple, forget about it, right? You can't really use these tools. It doesn't filter well, so it's a lot of manual time. So hopefully you have a unique name with your brand for monitoring. And with local, you actually need to go out on those sites like Google Places and Travelocity, Yelp, any place customer reviews are happening, and just monitor those, but because they may not always show up in Google Alerts.
With that, I think we've hit our time limit. Thanks so much, Kent. Amazing information. My head's full of stuff. We got some homework to do. We have done a report on each of your dealerships, how you rank search engine search words and whatnot. Come pick it up at our booth today. And Kent will be around most of the day. So any questions, please come on by, and we'll answer them personally. Thanks.
Okay, 15-minute break, guys, and then we've got another session in here. And at that session, you'll receive a free book, so you might want to stop back for that one.